Well, I think it began somewhere around July 4th. Isn't that about the time Hobby Lobby put out their Christmas decorations? I think it started then. But there have been other signs as well. I mean, how many Black Fridays can you have? I thought there was just one. I was mistaken. Somewhere along the line, right? And Hallmark, oh, they've been in full swing since before Thanksgiving, right? I mean, they're all out there making it happen. We've lit the mayor's tree now on the square. There are lights up everywhere. I even got my first Christmas card. Thank you, Amy and Bob. It's coming, is it not? I mean, the signs are all there. It's coming. We've had all these preparation warnings that it's coming. And so I just got to ask you, are you ready? Oh, I see the looks of panic. No. Are you ready for Christmas? Maybe the better question would be, are you ready for the coming of Christ? Oh, those are two different questions, aren't they? One has to do with a holiday, and the other has to do with God. Are you ready for God's coming in your life today? You know, the preparation of Christmas focuses our attention on that wonderful holiday celebration. It focuses our attention on families and decorations and meals and carols and parties and candles and all this other kind of stuff. But it wasn't always that way. I mean, really, in that first Christmas long, long ago, it wasn't that way at all. It wasn't about parties. It wasn't about decorations. It wasn't about Christmas cards. It was about a longing for God to come and be with his people. Amen? And although it had been predicted for hundreds of years, for generations, they weren't ready when he came. Amen? They were no more ready than, well, maybe we would be if he were to come right now. They didn't have their hearts ready. They didn't have their lives ready to be turned upside down. And isn't that what Jesus did? To turn them upside down and around? They weren't ready, and that's why they needed that guy named John the Baptist to come ahead of him. Now, at first glance, people confused John with Jesus, and it would have been easy to do so. I mean, if you knew his full story, you might have confused John with Jesus as well. John's birth, after all, was announced by an angel, just like Jesus' were it was. And in fact, it was the same guy, Gabriel, who announced them both. I mean, John's childhood and Jesus' childhood might have been the same. We don't know because there's nothing written about either one. You could easily have been confused. And if you look at how they grew up into adults, they were both preachers. They both gathered crowds of people, agreed. They both gathered even religious leaders who came to hear what they had to say. And that's really what brings us to John right now, was that gathering of people. They had come out demanding to know who John was and what he was about. Now, as we get ready to hear this word today, I want you to lay aside for a moment, if you grew up in the church, anything you might have heard about John the Baptist. Because usually when we think about John the Baptist, we think about some guy with a beard out in the wilderness wearing camel's hair and eating grasshoppers. Right? baptizing a few folks. I mean, that's really kind of what comes to our mind if we grew up in church. That's the picture that we have of John the Baptist. But in today's gospel, in the gospel of John, where we read about John the Baptist, there is no mention of any of those things. Because those things aren't important to the story. They're not important as to what he was wearing. They're not important as to what he was eating. It's not important. The only thing that's important to John's gospel is what was he telling? What was he saying? You know, do you ever get distracted by the trivial stuff? Ooh. John's saying, I don't want you to be distracted by how he looks, by the other things he's doing. I just want you to listen to what he's saying. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19. This is John's testimony. When the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him, "Who are you?" John confessed, he didn't deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." So they ask him, "Who are you? Are you Elijah?" John said, "I'm not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." And they ask, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And John replied, "I am a voice crying out in the wilderness, 'Make the Lord's path straight,' just as the prophet Isaiah said." Those sent by the Pharisees ask, "Well, why do you baptize if you aren't the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" And John answered, "I baptize with water. Someone greater stands among you." Did you hear that? Someone else in the crowd. Someone else is already here whom you don't recognize. He comes after me, but I'm not worthy to untie his sandal straps. Now this encounter took place across the Jordan in Bethany where John was baptizing. John's message is pretty clear, is it not? I mean, it's like the rest of his preaching. It's not full of a lot of grace. John was not a warm, touchy-feely kind of pastor. You know, if you came to his church and you wanted to feel good, you better pick another church to be a member of. Right? Because he's going to tell you like it is, and he's going to expect you to do something with it. To say that his message was challenging would be an understatement. Right? His is a message of repentance. Repent, or the Greek word for that, metanoia. Meta meaning change, noia meaning mind. It means to change your mind. Now, if someone says to you in an argument this week, metanoia, that means you better change your ways, right? That you need to stop being bullheaded. You need to stop saying my way or the highway. You need, I mean, not that any of you grace-filled people would ever do that. But John's message was, no. You need to change your mind. Now, if one needs to repent, if one needs to change their mind, what that really means is one of two things, right? You're either doing something that you ought not to do. Anybody ever been there? A time or two, yeah, today, all right? Or you need to do something you've not been doing. Been there too, haven't we? But it's one or the other, right? You either need to change something that you have been doing or start doing something you haven't been doing that you should be doing. And for people of John's day, it was just as true of them as it is true of us. The people long ago had drifted from God. They were doing things they ought not to have been doing. They were worshiping other gods. They were marrying people they weren't supposed to be marrying. They were not doing things they should have been doing. They weren't taking care of the widows. They weren't making sure everyone had food. They weren't welcoming the stranger. They weren't, we could relate, could we not, to those kinds of things? And their hearts and their walk was not right with God. They had longed for a Messiah. They have even claimed that we're waiting for Jesus to come, but they weren't yet ready. And even when he was standing there in their midst, they couldn't see him. Not that much different, really, huh? So here's John, and he's trying to get the people ready. But the people were unclear as to who John really was and what John was really trying to do, and they keep trying to put John into a box so they could understand him, so they could know what to do and how to respond to it. Now, not that any of us have ever done that. Not that any of us have ever encountered something new and tried to put it in an old box so that we could know how to do it, right? Ever open up something and not look at the directions? And just assume that you know how to do it because you once put something else together, right? I gotta tell this little story. Denise and I bought this toy for our grandson. Some assembly was required. So we gave it to him in the box still for his father to put together. He might have put the wheels on backwards, only to discover that you can't take the wheels off once you put them on. So the white walls of the tires might have been inside rather than outside. Now you would have thought that the next toy that we gave them that needed some assembly required and also had tires on it with white walls, you would have thought that he might have remembered. Nay. That toy also has white walls facing in rather than out. Consistent, yeah. Kind of like some of us are consistent, right? We have a way of doing things, and even if it didn't work the first time, by golly, it's going to work the next time. Because that's the way we do it, right? Oh, they were wanting to put John in a box. Can you be Elijah? Nope. Can you be a prophet? Nope. Can you be the Christ? Nope. Then what are you doing here? Isn't that really what they were saying? What do you have to offer us if you're none of those things? What could you possibly have that's of use to us? How can what you're saying be important to us if you're none of those things? And John says, I'm just a voice. I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness, get ready. I'm just a voice in the wilderness pointing to the one who's going to come. I'm just a voice. And that begins to give us a clue as to what John might have for us in this day to prepare for Christ's coming, to make our hearts ready. We might need a voice that tells us that we have to be clear about who we are and who we are not. We are not God, amen? We are not in charge of everything, amen? We are not the fixers of our own destination even, amen? We need to know who we are and who we are not. We cannot do all things without Christ. John tells us we need to take a full account of ourselves, to be honest with ourselves, that would be what would make us ready to receive Christ, that we would know why we need him, we would know how we need him, and we would clear out all the other stuff so there would be room for him to even in. And for John, even though he had this great message and he was attracting crowds and he was attracting followers and he was attracting disciples, he was also aware of what he was going to need to do, of what he was going to need to be in that moment. He knew he was going to have to be a voice. And later on in John, in chapter 3, verse 30, he says, he must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. Now, when you think about it, when we give ourselves to Christ, when we live out our Christian life, we're asking Jesus to become greater and greater in us. Amen? And there to be less and less of us shining forth for everybody to see. Amen? But that isn't the way our world lives, huh? Our world is wanting us to be great, wanting us to be the stars. Don't believe that? Watch a football game today. Oh, did I say that out loud? John's reminding us, in order for Christ to come, in order for Jesus to be who he needs to be in the world and in my life, there must be less of me and more of him. I must reduce and he must increase. I want you to remember that principle, because it's going to come up again in just a minute. They wondered what that principle might have meant even, and so they began asking, what must we do to prepare? How then do we get ready for this coming of this Messiah? What do we have to do in order for him to come into our lives? And surprisingly, it wasn't put up another Christmas tree. It wasn't to send out more cards. It wasn't to buy bigger gifts. No. We find the answer to that in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verse 10, where John the Baptist says, the crowds ask, what should we do? And John replied, if you have two shirts, give one to the poor. If you have food, share it with those who are hungry. And even tax collectors came to be baptized and asked, teacher, what should we do? And he replied, collect no more taxes than the government requires. What should we do? Asked some of the soldiers. And John replied, don't extort money or make false accusations, and be content with your pay. Now, I want to remind you that who John is really talking to at this point. He was talking to a crowd of people, agreed? That's what it says, a crowd of people. So in that crowd are folks who are religious leaders, they're people who believe, and in that crowd are people who really want nothing to do with the temple. Agreed? Who want nothing to do, and in that crowd are even non-Jewish soldiers who have come out. So you've got all kinds of people who are wanting to hear. I just got to think, you know, it's not really unlike what would happen if we were uptown on the square in Harrisonville, and a crowd came out. Amen? I mean, there would be people who would be church-going people, and there'd be people who really don't care about the church, who want nothing to do with the church, and they would be in the majority, by the way. Did you hear that? You know, I don't know how many times in the last 3 weeks I've had an opportunity to introduce myself to someone, whether it was the chaplain at the hospital or just out and about, or the other day when Denise and I were uptown, we were buying something and we had a chance and I introduced myself as a new pastor, and they said, what church are you at? And I told them what church I was at, and they said, and where's that? Now, Harrisonville isn't that big, friends. That's how relevant church is to people today. They don't even know where it is. Do you hear me? That's not a slam on them. Who's that about? That's us. We're not even relevant with the message that we have to share, that Christ is coming and has come and will come again. How is it that you reach people like that? That was John's kind of question, wasn't it? How do I help people who are in the crowd like that. People who don't even know, people who don't even care, people who are just lost, people who are religious but not really faithful. How do I share this important message with them? John's thinking, and he just says, I'm a voice. I'm a voice in the wilderness. And then he offers them these kinds of ways to come back. They're the same for us. If we want to be that kind of voice, if we want to welcome Christ into our lives this Advent, this Christmas season, we can't be afraid to repent. Amen? We can't be afraid to say, I maybe have it wrong, or I got it wrong. We can't be afraid to say, forgive me. We can't be afraid to change our minds, to listen more than we speak. We might even have to change how we worship. Ooh. I didn't say change who we worship. I said change what? How we worship. If we're going to be relevant. We need to remember who and whose we are and get the right order in our life. John says we might need to also share what you have. Yeah, I mean, isn't that what he answered them whenever they said, hey, so how do we do this? How can we do this? And he says, you know, if you got two shirts, give one away. If you got food, share it with somebody who's hungry. I mean, don't worry about what you don't have. Share what you do have. Offer it to someone else who is in need. And in this way, everyone will have enough. In this way, you're going to be living out the way of Jesus. I mean, he couldn't say that yet, but he's actually preparing them for that, is he not? Because isn't that what Jesus taught? Isn't that what Jesus did? He ate with sinners. He gave food to those who were in need. He gave comfort to those who needed comforting. He welcomed the stranger. He gave sight to the blind. He restored those who had been lost. I mean, this is the way of Jesus. He loved even to the cross. Amen? He's preparing them, John is. He's preparing them so that they will recognize Jesus when Jesus is at work in the world. He's simply pointing the way so they will recognize him when he comes. And isn't that what we are charged to do? To point to Jesus who comes, to show folks the way to the one who offers and brings hope like that. And he goes on, he says, reduce yourself in order to lift others up. I have to become less so that he can become more. To the tax collectors, don't use your position to lift yourself up and cheat people out of more money. To the soldiers, don't use your position to put other people down and to have more power. Lift other people up. Be happy with what you have. So what does this look like? Well, I think it looks like things like Operation Christmas Child. Amen? I think it looks like things like helping out with Bright Futures. Amen? I think it looks like things like even opening our doors for a new recovery ministry to begin here, don't you? I think that's where it begins, that we become less of ourselves and more of lifting and empowering others around us and welcoming others into our midst. So in preparation for the coming of Christ, not Christmas, all right? But in preparation for the coming of Christ this Advent season, ask yourself today what John said his life was all about. Who are you shining a light for? Who are you shining a light for? It comes with a tough kind of thing to look in your life. Amen? It comes with a thing of maybe looking at our lives differently. But when we're able to be honest with who we are and who we are not, then we can really point people to Jesus. Then we can be a light that shines in the darkness and offers hope. Then we can be like John the Baptist, and others might say of us, this was his testimony. This was her testimony. Make your hearts ready. Christ comes. Make your lives ready. Be a light, preparing others to receive Christ. Make this be a season of welcoming Christ once more. Amen. Amen. Gracious God, we thank you in this day for those who come into our midst to shine as light. We thank you in this day for a call to come back to you and to open our hearts and lives to you. And we pray that we might hear the message of John and that we might be able to prepare our own lives, that we might share what we have to share, that we might become less and you might become more. Make yourself known to us this season. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.